So, Kristen, here we are. It's 3 days, 2 days, 3 days after Elizabeth Taylor's death.
Yeah, 2 days.
Depending on how you want to count it, right? She died very early on Wednesday morning, about 1:30 a.m. And she is still one of the most searched for terms on Google. She's still a trending topic on Twitter. People still really care about Elizabeth Taylor. Here's my question to you. Do you remember the first time you saw Elizabeth Taylor? Do you remember your first Elizabeth Taylor experience?
Before we get to that question, let me introduce myself. This is Kristen Meinzer, producer for The Takeaway.
And I'm Rafer Guzman, movie critic for Newsday, and this is Movie Date.
My whole life was filled with Elizabeth Taylor.
Was it?
Yeah, absolutely. She was a huge part of my life from the time I was very young. My grandmother, I loved her so much. She raised me half my life, my Nana.
Okay.
Nana was a huge celebrity watcher. She taught me how to read with the help of the National Enquirer.
Oh, nice.
Yes. And so for as long as I can remember reading, there was Elizabeth Taylor because
I'll
she was
bet.
Always in the tabloids.
Of course she
so
was.
So that was really my first Elizabeth Taylor encounter, was through the tabloids, learning how to read, getting my first sentences out there, copying them down on paper. Nana would say, all right, you're going to copy this paragraph that you read here in the National Enquirer.
Wow.
And this is Elizabeth Taylor. And this is her weight gain.
Right.
Whatever it is, along those lines.
B-E-T-T-Y-F-O-R-D.
Exactly.
Wow.
What about you, Rafer? What was your first Elizabeth Taylor experience?
My first was Cat on a Hot Tin Roof.
Really?
Yeah.
When was that?
I was probably an early teenager. I think I just saw a double feature of some kind, and I can't remember what the other double feature was. Might have been Night of the Iguana, actually, another Tennessee Williams.
This is a crazy double feature for a 14-year-old.
Unfortunately, that was the kind of 14-year-old that I was and remain. But yeah, it was Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, and I have to say, I think I had only a dim awareness of who Elizabeth Taylor was back then, because that would have been the 80s, and she was really, you know, kind of into her declining period, right? She was in the weight gain phase and in the alcoholic phase. But I just remember she was just, you know, magnetic, and she was incredible in that role. And I remember thinking, wow, you know, that's she just seemed like a real force of nature on screen. I'd never quite seen anyone really like that. I can't say that I became like a big Liz Taylor fan after that. But I do remember, I mean, that movie and her, just her whole persona in it, is still pretty vivid in my mind.
You know what I feel like? I feel all the time like a cat on a hot tin roof.
Then jump off the roof, Maggie, jump off it. Our cats jump off roofs and they land uninjured. Do it, jump.
Jump where? Into what?
Take a lover.
I don't deserve that.
She was so magnetic. And in a way, I almost feel that people remember her more, at least, you know, for the last 30 or 40 years. A lot of people remember her more for what she was, not so much for her movies even.
Yeah, that's true.
And I'm wondering, I mean, is she more of an icon than she is an actor?
Yeah, I think she is. I mean, I helped write the obit for Newsday, which came out yesterday. And I was saying in that story that, you know, it seemed to me the most memorable thing about her in a way is that decades after her film career had kind of spiraled and after her physical health had declined and after her looks were going and, you know, after she'd become even something of a joke, you know, she'd become this kind of celebrity train wreck type. Like even decades after that, I think when you say the name Elizabeth Taylor, it's still just conjured up this idea of like beauty and glamour and wealth and luxury
and excess
and sort of travel and internationalism and just sort of everything you wanted about fame and riches and it was all there and just in that name, even up to the end, she still symbolized that.
But her personal life was so crazy,
right?
And I mean, how many times in and out of Betty Ford, as you were saying? How many times was she married? It was eight times,
eight
right?
Eight times, seven husbands.
Seven husbands.
Right.
And the more I think about it, you and I were talking about this earlier. Have we even seen a fifth of her movies? She's been in 50 movies.
I mean, if you count, if you're counting movies and also like made for TV movies and things and miniseries, it's somewhere I think over 50.
Yeah, and you and I were saying we haven't even seen 20% of those movies.
No, not even close.
Yeah, not even close. Well, what movies have you seen of hers?
Okay, so in addition to Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, I've seen Giant. Which, again, like, you know, I think that movie, people seem to love Giant.
I don't know why either.
I think what they mostly like, frankly, is the idea of Giant. Rock Hudson, James Dean, Elizabeth Taylor. I think the poster is what everyone really likes.
Yeah,
right?
It's amazing. And you know what? You could take a lot of scenes from that movie and just take a still.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful poster.
Yes, yes.
There's a lot of sweeping vista sorts of scenes.
Right.
Sitting
right.
at sunset, looking out on your land.
Right, exactly. Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? Which is a great movie, I think, by almost any standard. And Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton are both fantastic in it.
They're terrific.
Oh, they're great.
I don't even think Elizabeth Taylor is herself in that movie in the same way that we're used to seeing her, because she doesn't usually make that physical transformation for roles.
You see, George didn't have much push. He wasn't particularly aggressive. In fact, he was sort of a flop. A great, big, fat flop.
I think that was the great part about the movies. I think she was herself in that film.
Really?
And in some ways, much like she kind of, I'm sure she would disagree, but much like she kind of was herself in Butterfield 8. You know, that movie was made with Eddie Fisher, who she had quote-unquote stolen from Debbie Reynolds. And the movie is all about her being in a married man's bed.
Like, you know, so many of her movies, though.
Like so many of her movies. I know. It's funny because I was reading a review from the 70s about Elizabeth Taylor, and it was a Roger Ebert review, and he was saying, in his wonderfully blunt way, she's taken to playing sluts lately, and I kind of thought,
I love Roger Ebert.
I know, I do too.
I love him.
And I just thought, well, that's an actual fact. Yes, she has, and she has always played some kind of what I guess you could call a slut. Although you would also, I think, this was one of the great things about her is she was kind of a third or fourth wave feminist before. You even had the first wave. That she was a woman who was taking control of her sexuality,
and she always held the upper hand.
Yes, always.
You
always.
Almost never saw her in a role where she didn't hold the upper hand.
Right.
You will kneel.
I will what?
On your knees.
You dare ask the proconsul of the Roman Empire?
I asked it of Julius Caesar. I demand it of you.
Yeah, she very much was in control of her sexuality. She was in control of almost every situation, even if it seemed as though she was vulnerable.
Right, right.
Cleopatra, you see that.
Yes.
Quite a bit.
Because
there is one scene where Caesar is about to have his way with her, whether she wants it or not. And she said, Caesar, you're not going to like me this way.
Right.
Which I just thought was so great. She's like, you know you can do this. You're bigger and you're stronger than me, but you're not going to like it. You're going to like it a lot more if I'm giving it to you because I want to give it to
right,
you.
Right, right. Which is great. And she's great at that. Or also, again, going back to Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, you know, where she plays Maggie. And really, if you think about it, she just spends the entire movie begging Paul Newman for sex,
mm-hmm.
right?
But it's so
in this,
crazy.
In this way that is so bullying and so
emasculating.
Yeah, and so emasculating and so like entitled. And it's hilarious to see a woman do that. It's such a complicated dynamic, and it's funny to see a woman doing that on screen in whatever that was, 1958 or something. I mean, it's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, it's amazing. And even as far back as I like a lot of her earlier movies, too,
uh-huh.
like Father of the Bride and Father's Little Dividend.
Yeah, and those are all ones that I have not really seen. Yeah.
But even in Father's Little Dividend, I think she's only like 20 in that movie.
What a name.
It's the sequel. It's where she and her husband have a baby. And
okay.
Spencer Tracy has to come to terms with the fact that his little girl has a baby now.
Ah.
And, you know, that means certain things about his daughter.
That's right.
Yeah.
It sure
but
does.
Even in that movie, she seems very much, at one point, she's saying to her dad, Spencer Tracy, oh, just watch the baby. Sometimes he'll act up, but you just have to spank him. I'm going to go out and have fun now.
And, oh, wow.
And I just love it. She's just going to go out and have fun now. And
right.
She kind of does that in a lot of movies where uh-huh. I'm just going to go and have fun now. And yeah. if you don't like it, that's too bad. Whatever. I'll be back later.
That's funny. That's very funny. But even that, is that what made her an icon? Is it the feminism that made her an icon? Because I almost feel like in some weird way that's just one fraction of the whole.
We can't overlook the fact that she was gorgeous.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
She was so beautiful and she had that perfect skin. And
she really was. She was extraordinary looking.
Yeah.
But again, even... You know, so was Marilyn Monroe. You know, I mean...
are a lot of Hollywood people.
So are a lot of Hollywood
people. They're good looking. They're in Hollywood. Yeah.
Right, exactly. So I almost feel like that doesn't even quite explain what it was. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, I think it might be a combination of things. I mean, we have her movies. We have her personal life. But then a lot of her movies, as you were saying, there's this crossover between her personal life and the movies at the same time.
Yeah.
You see things playing out, like... in Cleopatra, where she's kind of a husband stealer in the movie.
Uh-huh, yeah. I guess that's true.
And then in real life, she's a husband stealer, supposedly.
Right, right.
And all of that's going on. And, you know, she has so many affairs. Well, I don't know if they're affairs. Maybe they're just marriages in real life.
That I don't know, right.
However you want to look at it.
You're right.
And so many of these movies seem to almost reflect what's going on and in some ways be, I don't know, a mockery of what's going on in real life or mm-hmm. where people might be more interested in the movie because of what's happening off the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's a certain quality to that, that it's almost early reality television where people like that.
Yeah, she really was one of the first celebrity train wrecks, I think. And long before that became acceptable/popular, you know, I mean,
The Vatican.
The Vatican?
The Vatican actually denounced her at one point.
Oh, yeah. What do they call her? The capricious child or the something? Yeah, they said something. They made some kind of snotty remark about her as well. Yeah, it's interesting. And like we were both saying, you know, who else is on the horizon that you'd call an icon? I mean there are stars and there are celebrities and there are people who look like they're going to stay around for a long time and who are doing great things. But I don't see anyone quite taking her place, really. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I can't really think of anyone.
No, it's tough. So what will be your favorite memory? What will be the thing that you will sort of, when you think of Elizabeth Taylor, what will be the first thing that comes to your mind?
Other than those happy memories of reading the National Enquirer with my Nana when
five. Which are good enough.
Those are great memories. You know, Nana and I also watched North and South, the miniseries.
Which I have not seen.
Of the 80s, in which she plays the madam of a southern whorehouse.
Oh, see, that's
and
great.
She was perfect. She was perfect. Can you imagine a better madam in a whorehouse?
No.
And it was in the 80s, and they had all the 80s hair and makeup.
Right.
And it was just fabulous. Kirstie Alley is, she's passing. She's the daughter of escaped slaves, I think, and she's a whore also. And all the whores in the whorehouse have these backstories, and the one with the best story of all, of course, is Elizabeth Taylor.
Right.
Yeah. But what about you? What's your favorite Elizabeth Taylor memory?
You know, again, for me, it's hard to put my finger on it, but I think there was a way that she moved. That's what I really think of more than the eyes and the face, and really more than her figure, which was a total knockout figure. But there was a way that she just a way she moved on screen that just said, and not really in a tawdry way, that just said sex. You know, and I mean, from A Cat in a Hot Tin Roof to one of my favorite movies, a total obscurity of hers called Hammersmith is out. There's a scene at the end where she is pregnant and she's rubbing her belly in this suggestive, sort of incredibly lurid way to taunt somebody else, to taunt this other guy. And it's just an incredible scene in this little movie that nobody has seen. And, you know, only she could carry it off that way, you know. And I think it's just this overall way that she had of moving through a scene that I'll just always remember.
I need to see that movie.
You do.
Lurid, pregnant belly rubbing.
Exactly.
Rest in peace, Elizabeth Taylor.
Did you know that you can follow Movie Date on Twitter and Facebook? You can also give us feedback on the podcast and tell us what movies you want us to see next.
Log on to themoviedate.org to find out more. And thanks so much for listening.